We're going to start this sermon a little different. We're going to make a list. Sometimes it's good to make a list and to go through some things. And I just want to kind of encourage you to think about this question. And then let's just give answers as you can. I'm going to ask Stephanie to come up, and she's going to do some writing for us so we can capture some of the thoughts here. But here's the question that I want to ask you to start this sermon. If I asked you to set some time aside just to honor God, what would you do? Just set some time aside right now, honor God. What would be something that you'd say, okay, well, if I'm going to do that, I would
sing.
Sing to God. Yep, to sing to God. Praise Him. Praise Him in all circumstances. We'll just leave praise Him because that would be honoring Him. What would you do to honor Him? You got some time?
Pray.
Beautiful. You would pray. Yes, what else? You would glorify Him. Sure, yes. Help others. Beautiful, right? Because He said, inasmuch as you've done it to one of the least of these, you visited in prison, visited me when I was sick, right? So helping. What? Yes. Read the Word. Beautiful way to honor God by reading what He has said to us, right? Wonderful. Yes. Minister to others. Yes. Spend time alone with Him. Okay. Time alone with God. Yes. Serve others. And meditate on His Word. Beautiful. So we've got pray, we've got sing, praise, read His Word, meditate, help others, minister to others. Yes. Share His love with somebody who really needs it. Oh, I love this list. This, you can tell I'm getting more energy just listening to you guys. Yes. Share His love. Yep. Dance. Dance. Worship and dance. Yes. Who else? Yes. Forgive others. Forgive others. A beautiful way. Right? To honor God. Yes. Evangelize the gospel. What a great way to honor God. Evangelize the gospel. All right, Steph, you got a text message from somebody.
Well, this is Jack texting me from the audience saying, thank you, son. Fasting. And James Lester also texting from the audience. Fellowship and encourage one another. And then Jonathan Belt, share the gospel.
Yep.
And Ray Hartle, give testimony.
Nice. All these are good. So let's add those to the board. So look at the board. Is there anything else you want to add? So we have pray, sing, praise, glorify, share His love, evangelize, dance, read His Word, share the gospel, serve others, minister to others, help others. Yes.
Provide for your own.
Way to honor Him. Yes. Obedience. Obey Him.
Remember.
Okay. Wonderful. Yes. By giving. Whether it's in tithes or offerings. Cry with others. Can we include laugh with others too? All right. I mean, crying's good. I like when you get to the other side, it's more fun. To lay down your life for others. To lay down your life. Let's just put to lay down your life since we're talking about honoring God. Okay, and this is going to be the last one. Yes. Observe His holy days. Okay. All right. We had keep His holy days, and there was another one that said surrender. That fills the board pretty well. Now, there's more, right? This wasn't meant to be exhaustive. It was meant to give some answer, though. How would you honor God, right? If you were setting time aside to just honor God, what would you do? Do we agree this is a pretty good list? We could take it out further, but this kind of encapsulates, at least at the core, of what that would be. All right. What other question might this answer? And I'm going to give you a clue before I ask. It's a question Scott and I are asked frequently. What should we do on the Sabbath? How do you keep the Sabbath day holy? Look at this in Isaiah chapter 58 in verse 13 to 14. It says, if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor Him, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in the Lord. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk a little bit about keeping the Sabbath. It's one of the questions that I get asked rather frequently. People, maybe you have just learned about the Sabbath. You're saying, well, I want to start honoring God, keeping this commandment. But what do you do? Notice again what it says there at the beginning. From doing your own pleasure on my holy day, call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor Him. There's your short answer. Is what you are thinking about and focusing on the Sabbath honoring him. Because people will say, David, can we go to see a baseball game on the Sabbath? Can we go, you know, do a barbecue and a grill out? Can we go, you know, to this party or that party? Is it okay if I'm going to work? And I get asked these questions, and here's really the answer. If you focus on honoring him, well, then the other stuff just kind of falls away. The purpose and point of what the Lord did was to make a day of fellowship with him where you're not seeking your own way, you're not seeking your own pleasure, you're not speaking your own words. This is what you're doing. The Sabbath is not a day of idleness. The Sabbath is a day of honoring God. It is not a day to twiddle your thumbs at home and say, I feel so bored, I can't do anything. It's to engage you and energize you in time aside for God first, honoring him. So he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall work, do all your labor. The seventh day you shall rest. So he's setting aside a time for us that should be an engagement in honoring him. That's the way the time is used. And so if it's a day to be idle, if it's a day to judge others, if it's a day that's spent in carnal ways, if it's a day that has to do with honoring other people, not honoring God, then that doesn't really fit. The way you would do it, though, is you would directly honor God and then serve others honoring God. And that's what makes the Sabbath day a delight. So when you think again about these words, turn away your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day. Call it a delight, the holy day of the Lord, honorable, and honor him. There is your answer. So think in these terms about what God would have us do with this time. Because if we're just feasting and saying, well, I'm keeping the Sabbath and you're not, that's not what it's for. This day is a beautiful, awesome day of engagement with God in a celebration, truly, of life. Look at this in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13. It says, speak to the children of Israel and say, surely my Sabbath you shall keep. It is a sign between me and you throughout your generations that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Did you know when you got baptized and you confessed your sins, this is one of the death sins that if you broke the Sabbath that you were baptized for? It's in the covenant, and Hebrews chapter 9 says that Christ came to save us from the sins that we committed under the first covenant. This is one of the death penalty sins, and it's mentioned multiple times in Scripture. We don't think of it that way, and I'm going to tell you what is very interesting about the responsibility that Scott and I have. You know, in a lot of teaching, biblical teaching, you can turn on the radio, and you're going to hear sermons on surrender, obedience, loving God, having a great marriage, how to raise your kids, forgiveness, walking in a right way. But how many times do you hear the encouragement about the fourth commandment? It's one of those commandments that sticks out because we don't hear a lot of encouragement about it. What's fascinating is if you're a history buff at all, you know that the Sabbath was a major topic in Christian churches all the way up until really about the beginning of the 1900s. And still in my lifetime, when I was a little kid, Sabbath conversation was part of church going. It's really changed dramatically. And what happens over time is that you can lose the things of God, and then you start to human reason why it's not important and human reason why it's not. And what I want us to do today is just take a step back and say, God, I want to listen. So more than me doing a bunch of talking, I want to do a lot more reading today. So that's why I don't have the Bible, because I've got about 125 verses to walk you through about this. And I know we're not going to get through them all. I already know that. I'm confessing. Yeah, and but this Donnie's cheering back there. I don't know, because I said I'm not going to get through them all, or I got 125. But he's cheering, and I like it. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at this. So notice this. You shall keep the Sabbath, for it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. So when you think about what God is saying, he's saying, this is something special to me. I set it apart. I sanctified it. Whoever does any work shall surely be put to death. Now, I want you to think, why would it be a sign between God and his people? What is it that makes that a sign? Anybody have an idea? Yes. Because nobody else does it. Would you even know it existed if God didn't tell you it existed? The reason I believe this commandment is a very special commandment to God, that he says it's a sign between me and my people, is the only way that you would ever acknowledge it is if you believe the Bible and you acknowledge the story of creation in Genesis 1. When you acknowledge the creation in Genesis 2, 1 to 3 of the Sabbath and sanctifying the seventh day, you're basically saying, I believe you're the creator. It's a sign saying you're the creator. And as I believe you made that tree, the sun, the moon, the stars, the grass, the fish, the birds, I believe you made the Sabbath. You can't say I believe that he did the things on the first 6 days and ignore what he said he did on the seventh day. And that's why he says this is a sign. And that's why he said it's a death penalty. I want you to think about what the essence of what our problem is as human beings. We don't believe and trust God. That when he says something is, that we say, okay, Dad. But that's what he wants from us. To be of a poor and contrite spirit and tremble at his word. So that when he says, I blessed and sanctified the Sabbath day, we don't say, well, it doesn't matter to me. We would say, oh, wow, okay. It's special to you. It's special to me. So faith is at the essence of this commandment. It isn't by sight, touch, taste. There's no physical thing scientifically you can figure out about the difference of the time we're in right now compared to the time tomorrow. You only think it's different because you believe God and what he said. So we who are saying, I believe, then we need to think about what do? How do we go about doing this? Let's continue on here. So therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. Genesis 2, here it is. So after he finished everything, on the seventh day God ended his work which he had done. And in Genesis 2, 1 to 3, he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So did God give the Sabbath just for the Israelites? Was it something that he made for man? Notice in Isaiah 56, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness. For my salvation is about to come, my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath. And again, this is Isaiah 56, 1 to 7. And keeps his hand from doing any evil. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord saying, the Lord has separated me from his people. Because realize, what was the foreigner thinking? I'm not circumcised. Don't think that you've been separated. Or to the eunuch, say, here I am, a dry tree. How is he going to be part of the family? And God is saying, for thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. So this is God's definition of doing righteousness and keeping justice. Don't defile my Sabbath. Do what's right. Keep my covenant. So we have a covenant that we've been given by God, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have the commandments that he gives. And he says, here's the patience of my saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. So this is one of those things. So notice what he says as well to the eunuchs. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants. Everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. Now, isn't it interesting? How many of you have ever heard this last part of this verse before? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. It's very common, but how often do you get the first part of the verses? Not too often. But there was a point that there was a coming together and what God was asking for. Now, let's ask ourselves this question in terms of the Sabbath. What are some reasons that we don't keep the Sabbath? Notice here in Jeremiah 17, 19 to 27, the Lord said to me, go and stand at the gate of the children of the people by which the kings of Judah come in and by which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem, and say to them, hear the word of the Lord. You kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates, thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, nor carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, nor do any work. But hallow the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. But notice this. It says, but they did not obey or incline their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear nor receive instruction. We all have a choice when we go into God's word to say, I either believe it or I don't. And if I believe it, I'm acknowledging I not just know about it, but I'm going to embrace it. I'm going to live by it. That's the application of the word in our lives. To abide in the word is to live by the word. And so God is saying, here's the problem. People don't want to keep my Sabbath. This is not a modern problem. This is as long as God has been giving it out. In fact, when he gave it the very first week in Exodus chapter 16, after he had freed the Israelites from Egypt, the very first week, it was broken. He said, I told you. And he said, why don't you listen to me, my children? I'm trying to teach you our family way. We have stiff-necked, hard hearts. We don't want to do, we reason we don't need to. We have an excuse why we don't need to obey God. Friends, and whether it's about the Sabbath or sexual immorality or covetousness or idolatry or whatever form of wickedness, we think we don't have to obey, but somehow we keep walking in the way. And whatever it is, it might be a lack of forgiveness. It might be a lack of love for enemy. It might be any number of things that we could do in our day-to-day walk. It all comes back to is this principle. I don't want to obey that and apply that in my life. But what I'm encouraging you and me as disciples of Jesus Christ to say, what Jesus says, I do. And what the word of God reveals, I do, because I am not my creator, nor do I have the right to question the creator. I'm only here by his good grace. So do I elevate what he says over what I say? And that was the challenge. I want you to realize what we're reading here in Jeremiah. A whole nation went into bondage, and God is saying, because you wouldn't keep my Sabbaths. Do you really think God takes it lightly? Because we take it lightly as a culture because, hey, it's not what other people do. It doesn't matter what other people do. What matters is being a God pleaser. And what God is saying is, I keep telling everybody what to do. I keep saying, honor me on the Sabbath. Do we think that there is a reason that God has for this? Do we think that he knows what happens when we fail to take the time to remember him and to honor him and say, I'm going to remember and engage with you, God, in faith. One day out of seven, it's just to honor you. That's what your creator's asking you for. And it's a very intimate thing. And he said, hey, it's a sign between me and you. I remember this between us. It's like a wedding ring. It's a signet of a covenant. What does this say? I remember I'm married to my wife. She wears a diamond. She remembers that she's married to me. And it is something that is a sign between the two of us of our relationship. God said, basically, there's two things. One, the Sabbath is a sign. And two, by loving one another. Two pronounced signs. Now, you could say, well, but having the Holy Spirit's a sign. Absolutely. But I want you to think about the special things that God is saying, come into my life. God has invited us in to have a special place with him, with our creator. And this is one of the things. So notice, he said they would not, they made their neck stiff, that they might not hear or receive instruction. They just didn't want to hear about it. And unfortunately, that's the way these commands go quite a bit. We just don't want to hear about it. But here's the prophet saying, through the Lord says, no burden through the gates. the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work. Again, this is Jeremiah 17. And then shall enter the gates of the city, kings and princes sitting on thrones of David, riding in chariots on horses, they and their princes, accompanied by the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city shall remain forever, and they shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem and from the land of Benjamin and from the lowlands, from the mountains and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, grain offerings and incense, bringing sacrifices of praise to the house of the Lord. But if you will not heed me to hallow the Sabbath day, such as not carrying a burden when entering the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Notice here in Ezekiel chapter 20, God says, moreover, I gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctifies them. Again, it's a statement of your faith as creator and him as sanctifier of who we are. Yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he will live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbaths. So I said I would pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them, but I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles in whose sight I brought them out. So I raised my hand in an oath and them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all the lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbaths. Why? For their heart went after other idols. Do you want to know why we have trouble keeping the Sabbath? Because we want to honor something else. It's that simple. If we spend the time honoring God, keeping the Sabbath is a blessing and a delight. If we want to honor something else, another God, our own thoughts, well, then that's what we go after. So when you think about your life, God's saying, hey, do your work. Walk in ways that you would see, not that they're against God, but you have the time to go to work, the time to do things that are pleasurable, but this is a time to honor God. And that's what he's asking for, to be different. There's times to bring burdens in Jerusalem. There's times to do that. 6 days you shall work is also part of the commandment. But the seventh day is a Sabbath, and it's holy to God. So again, back to Ezekiel 20, verses 12 through 16 here. So nevertheless, my eye spared them from destruction. Don't you love God's heart? He's saying, I want to share this with you, and I want you to share this with me, but you keep not wanting to share it with me. And I was thinking of doing this, but I relented. And so there's a heart that God has when he spares us. He said, I did not want to make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to the children of Israel, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers. Do not observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. Do you realize how incumbent that verse is on every one of us to strip away the things that we have had passed down to us in our thinking to say, let's get back to the word? Do you realize every revival, when you went through the kings of Israel, what was happening? It's like, hey, we just found the Bible. We found scripture. Let's read it. Tear the clothes. Revival begins. I wasn't doing this at all. This is what my father taught me. So revival comes. Revival happens in life when you are desiring of God and God starts working in your heart and he's pulling you closer. And then you start reading his word and he says, David, I want you to do this. And you're like, wow, I've not been doing that at all. And you repent and you say, that's it. I'm done disobeying in that way. I turn to you, Lord. Help me to walk with you in all of your holy ways. So the Lord God, what does he say? Again, notwithstanding the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes. They were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But they profaned my Sabbaths. And I said, I'll pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles in whose sight I had brought them out. And also I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness, that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the countries, because they had not executed my judgments, but they had despised my statutes. They profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idols. So again, God tells us plainly, here's the reasons why. Therefore, look at what he does. I gave them up to statutes that were not good. I gave them up to judgments, God says, by which they could not live. And I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts. in that they caused all the firstborn to pass through the fire. Last week, Scott's talking about sacrificing children and the way that we so seemingly callously in our country do it. You know what really is disturbing about this? Law is to protect everyone. That's the purpose of law. The purpose of law is justice for all. So when you have an injustice happening to innocent children, you realize what this plays on your mind? That the very law that we look to keep things just and right and good is actually being defiled when you say it's legal to kill a baby. It's messed up thinking. Where does messed up thinking come from? It comes from not honoring God. It comes from saying your ways aren't right. Your ways aren't better than mine. Why should I keep your Sabbath? Why should I do it? What does God say? Okay, you don't want to walk in my ways. You want to profane my Sabbath. You don't want to honor me. I get it. I'm going to let you have what you want. That's why it's so crushing. Because whether it's abortion or sexual immorality or divorce and all the remarriages, whether it's all the things that go on in our society of warfare and the things that are happening and torturing of people, it's just, you look at it and you say, don't you know there's only one way? It's the way of righteousness and justice of God. Do you think these things aren't connected? And friends, I am here to speak the truth to you today and read these verses to you. And I know this is a bit heavy as we go through it, but we don't want to say, God, you're right. We want to reason ourselves and say, I don't have to do that. I don't have to think about that. No, I don't need to spend a day honoring God as if it would have no impact on life. It does have an impact on your life. Do you think God's ways aren't higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher? If God says, this is so important to me that if you don't do it, I'm putting you to death. Do you think that we can somehow just keep ignoring and ignoring and ignoring and not reaping the benefit of not taking time as God sanctified it and set it apart and blessed it to honor him? That we can get away with that on a long-term basis and it doesn't corrupt our hearts? Again, when I was a kid, Sears was closed on Sundays. You didn't go to the store. Gas stations, except some that were needed for emergency, were left open in our town. The other ones were closed. I'm not that old, guys. I know some of you think I am. I'm not. And I can remember the shopping center, the mall was closed. We have gone so far, so fast. It's mind-boggling historically. You know, when the Sabbath was changed to Sunday and they said stop keeping the Sabbath, you realize that took until the 4th century for that change from the Jewish converts, the Gentile converts keeping the Sabbath. It took 300 years for that to change. In this country, it's taken a generation. But notice what it says. Why do you think God says that? He said, I gave them to statutes that were not good, judgments by which they could not live. I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts. In that they caused the firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate. We have law protecting injustice. Can we live by that? See, that's why it hurts so much, because it's exactly the opposite of the purpose of law. It's supposed to protect those little babies. Nehemiah 13. I want you to notice this prayer. This is the last chapter. Nehemiah was one who was brought back, right, to rebuild Jerusalem. So after this captivity that happened because of the rejecting of God's commands and the rejecting of the Sabbath and profaning the Sabbath, he goes back. And notice what he says happens here. He says, God, remember me, O God, concerning this, and do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of God and for its services. In those days, I saw people in Judah treading wine presses on the Sabbath. They were working. I saw him working in bringing in sheaves and loading donkeys with wine and grapes and figs and all kinds of burdens which they brought into Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them about the day on which they were selling provisions. Men of Tyre dwelt there also who brought in fish and all kinds of goods. They opened all their stores and sold them, as he says here, on the Sabbath day to the children of Judah and in Jerusalem. So then I contended with the nobles of Judah and I said to them, what evil thing is this that you do? If Nehemiah was resurrected and standing before us in this society today, what would he be saying? What evil thing is this that you do? Don't you know that a whole nation went into bondage? What did he say? What evil thing is this you do by which you profane the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers do this? His heart is pleading, saying, don't you get this is not good for us. It takes you in idolatrous ways. Because if you won't give God the time that he sets apart to honor him in spending time directly with him and serving him and honoring him through the service to others, something happens to us. It seems to be the case. And that's why God says you can't go down this road. What is this that you have done? Did not your fathers do this? Again, Nehemiah 13, 14 to 22. And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and on this city? Because we were doing this very thing. Yet you bring added wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. So it was at the gates of Jerusalem, it began to be dark before the Sabbath, that I commanded that the gates be shut and charged that they must not open till after the Sabbath. Then I posted some of my servants at the gates so that there are no burdens that would be brought in on the Sabbath day. And you can kind of notice if you're new to keeping the Sabbath, sometimes Scott and I get the question, when does it start? It's from evening to evening. So you can see as it's starting to get dark there, the Sabbath is beginning. Now the merchants and sellers of all kinds of wares lodged outside of Jerusalem once or twice. Then I warned them and said to them, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do it again, I'm going to lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. So Nehemiah, tough guy. And I commanded the Levites that they should cleanse themselves, that they should go and guard the gates to sanctify the Sabbath day. Remember me, O God, concerning this also, and spare me according to the greatness of your mercy. Could any of you pray that prayer and say, I spoke up. I said, don't do this anymore. Don't you know the story? Haven't you read in the scriptures what happens to those that don't remember the Sabbath and keep it holy? Don't you remember what God did in the beginning and what he sanctified for you and me? See, if we're going to be disciples, then let's look at what he says and let's bring it into our lives. What about Jesus? So Jesus, it says in Luke 4, verses 14 to 19, returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went throughout the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And I just want you to notice, sometimes I like to think about what would my life be if I was alive at the time Jesus was physically on the earth. If we were with Jesus, what would our custom be on the Sabbath day? Be going to synagogue, going to where they meet. And synagogue is just another word basically for church. It's just a meeting place where the congregation comes together. So Jesus read this, and notice what it says. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was to honor God in service to others. Very things that we were talking about. That this is time dedicated to this ministry and this service in our lives. That even when we have to work, we still know that we have 24 hours dedicated to serving God and serving other people. So notice in Luke 4, 31 to 39. So he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. And the report about him went in every place in the surrounding region. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever. So they made a request of him concerning her. He stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and served them. All right, so what is Jesus doing? We see him going to the synagogue. We see him teaching, opening up the Bible, speaking the scriptures. We see him cleansing someone who had a demon. We see him leaving the synagogue and going to somebody's house where somebody's sick, and we see healing. This is how you keep the Sabbath. Jesus demonstrates how you enter in to Sabbath and what Sabbath looks like. Notice in Matthew 12, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath, that they might accuse him? And he said to them, what man is there among you who has a sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? How much more value, then, is a man than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful, that is full of law, full of justice, to do good on the Sabbath. How do you keep the Sabbath? You do good. You do good to God and you do good to others. You honor him in the way that you spend your life. Again, this is not a day of idleness. It's a day of interaction with God. So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. And he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out and it was restored as whole as the other. Notice here in Luke chapter 13. So now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, 18 years. He bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and he said to her, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath. And the Lord said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan had bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Think of the heart that he's expressing. This is the very reason the Sabbath was given. A people held in slavery, who had to work every day, when he gave them freedom, the first thing he did says, you're getting a day off. I'm giving you a time of rest. But in the rest, don't think it's idleness that we shouldn't be doing the works of the Lord, because in it we're honoring him. So what do? We're not just hiding in a hole. We're coming to synagogue like Jesus did. We're sharing the word like Jesus did. We're teaching like Jesus did. We're praying for others. We're healing the sick. We're casting out demons. We're setting people free. This is the essence of what this time is set aside for. So if we're thinking we're just muddling through, you know, just doing our own thing, and it's just another day of self, I want you to see past. It's a day of honoring him. It's a day of honoring him. So that is the heart and intention that Jesus showed. And so he loosed. And so look at it. It says that when he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. John 5, verses 5 to 15. So now there was a certain man there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and he knew that he'd already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. Because remember, there was that the pool and everybody, when the water stirred, you know, it was an angel or something spiritual happened. They put people in the water to be healed. First one in, you're healed. But he said, well, I'm coming. Another steps in before me. So I got nobody to put me in. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed and walk. And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it's the Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed. And he said, he who made me well said, take up your bed. So they asked him, who's the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk? But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him. And I want you to really notice this. Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus that had made him well. Another part of the ministry, Jesus was healing him outside physically. But what he was saying is, don't sin anymore. He forgave him the trespass. He forgave him sins. So what was he doing? I want you to look at what the commandment here in Deuteronomy says. It says, observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days labor, do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your sons nor your daughters, your male servant, your female, your ox, your donkey, your cattle, your stranger, within the gates, that your male servant and your female servant may rest as well as you. If you have received of Jesus Christ and have received the rest that comes by His grace, by His forgiveness, and by His redemptive work, give rest to those around you. The essence of this commandment was it wasn't just about you, but everybody around you is without rest. He's saying, I'm going to give rest. When you really study these verses that we've been going through about Jesus and the Sabbath, what you see is He is fulfilling the very command that He gave to Moses, that not only would he be resting, but He's giving rest. He's giving rest to others, that they would be refreshed, that they would experience the life of Christ, that they would know what it is. The Sabbath is not just about an idleness of time. It's about a celebration of Jesus Christ and the life that we have and the rest that He brings into our lives. And we're sharing that with each other. And we're remembering that. And we're honoring God, praising Him, glorifying Him, giving Him all the honor that He is due. And in every way saying, how can I serve you? How can I help you? How can I be a blessing? How can I minister to you? Because if you're sick, I want to pray with you. If you're in trouble, I want to counsel with you, talk with you, sit with you. I want to cry with you when you're crying. I want to rejoice with you when you're rejoicing. I want to be. And what this does in this day, it's totally given to that. God said, look, you're going to need to work. You got to plow. You got to plant. You got to have a business. You got to work. But this day, there's no distraction from what I want. In everything that you're doing, you're fixing your eyes on honoring God and making Him first. And remember what He said. Why did they not do it? Because they fixed their eyes on other idols. Their heart went after them. But God wants us to fix our eyes on Him. So remember that you were a slave. This is a day we remember, where would I be without Christ in my life? I'd be a slave to this world. I would be a slave. And remember, it was the Lord our God who brought us out by a mighty hand, by an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Exodus 16:4. When God brought them out of slavery and bondage, the first thing He did is He said, I'm going to test them. Notice in Exodus 16:4, I'm going to test them whether they're going to walk in my law or not. Isn't that interesting that God would say that? I'm going to test this people that I redeemed. And so He gave them the Sabbath, and He basically said, I'm going to give you food to teach you. 6 days, I'm going to give you twice as much on the sixth day, but on the seventh, there's not going to be anything. So He said, lay it up till morning, as Moses commanded. It won't stink if you keep twice over on 6 days. Moses said, eat that today on the seventh day, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. So 6 days they went out, gathered a portion for a day. If they tried to keep it over on the first, second, third day of the week, it would stink the next morning. But on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, and when they kept it over, it didn't stink. It was still good. And so Moses said, eat that today. So 6 days you gathered, on the seventh, the Sabbath, again, Exodus 16, there'll be none. And it happened that some of the people went out on the Sabbath day to gather. Why would they do that? And see, the question is, why would we do that? Why would we do that? We got a day off for God. And so it happened that the people went out on the seventh day to gather. They found none. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? Don't you hear the lament in that? It's like, I'm trying to teach you a good and holy way. Why wouldn't you do that? So the people ended up resting then on the seventh day. Luke 23:56, after Jesus died, it said that His disciples, they returned and they prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. So something that they were still doing and used to doing with Jesus. Notice this in Acts chapter 13. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So here's the thing that we can see in this. One is that the Gentiles were also gathering in the synagogues, but they're wanting to hear the gospel on the Sabbath day. It would be a perfect opportunity for Paul to have said, we don't do that anymore. You're Gentiles. You shouldn't even be keeping this or thinking about a specific day. But yet he didn't. They asked them to preach the next Sabbath. So when the congregation had broken up, many Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Great Sabbath day activity. I'm going to make sure that what I verbally express to you, continue in the grace of God. See, what a beautiful way to honor and keep the Sabbath. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. So he taught. Notice this in Acts 16. So on the Sabbath day, it says we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. So isn't that cool? So on the Sabbath, you go out, there's a spot by a river. This is where we go to pray. Good use. And again, one of the things we said, honoring God by praying. So they went out, they sat down, spoke to a woman they met there. It was a certain woman named Lydia. She heard of us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, another Gentile city. But she was there on the Sabbath day praying. And she who worshiped God, and the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Look at Sabbath observance here. They're out praying. They go to have fellowship. They go to have prayer. They teach the word. She believes. She's baptized. They're baptized. She opens her house. You have hospitality. All these little things layered throughout the scriptures about how to keep the Sabbath. Open up your house. Serve the needs of others. Have a meal. Break bread. Have fellowship. Have prayer. Learn about each other. Every one of you can minister in this way on the Sabbath day. Everybody has the opportunity to do it. Even if you drive from afar, we've said, talk to us. If you want to come from afar and you say, Liesenfelds, can we use your house to have a couple families over? Sure. Can we be there? That was a joke, by the way. I would hope you'd let us stay. Maybe you wouldn't. I don't know. But we have time for fellowship here after services. There's opportunities to do that. You can go have a picnic somewhere. Go someplace. Go to a nursing home together. Go just visit people that are shut in and can't get out. Pure and undefiled religion. To visit who? Widows and orphans. Go to places. Visit people. Do good works. Feed the poor. Think about others. It's not just a matter of coming here and that's it. The Sabbath is a day of an engagement that where we're honoring God in many ways. So don't wear yourself out, but engage in honoring God in all the various ways that we can. Acts chapter 17, Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. Again, what's he doing? He's taking his time on the Sabbath to go in, explain, demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and not a few of the leading women, joined Paul and Silas. So again, Gentiles, Greeks, they're keeping the Sabbath and hearing the word of God in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and he worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. So when you think about Paul, do you remember parts of this where he said, I worked with you guys. I made my own money. I worked. But notice what it says. So he stayed with them and worked, for by occupation they were tent makers. Again, this is Acts 18, 1 to 4. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. So you get a vision of his life. 6 days he's working. He's doing the tent making. He's doing stuff. But on the Sabbath, where is Paul? Every Sabbath, persuading both Jews and Greeks. This is what the church looks like. This is what apostles do. This is what prophets, evangelists, pastors were engaged for the Lord all day long. Do you have a vision for your life about how you're going to do this? See, it would be remiss if we go through all these verses and you're not seeing these examples of how Jesus kept the Sabbath and how Paul was keeping the Sabbath and not saying, how am I going to engage in these processes? How do I share? How do I pray? How do I have fellowship? How do I show hospitality? How do I use the Sabbath to honor God, either in spending time directly alone with Him, or in the congregation with Him, or in serving others? There is what God wants us to do. In word and in deed, saying, continue in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm here to stir you up to good works. I'm here to encourage you to walk in the ways. I'm here to have you share in the intimacy of a time with God when He says, I sanctified you. I set apart. This is a sign between me and you. That you and me, we share this. Why? Well, I created something, God says, and David, you need to join in with me on this. See, wild horses couldn't drag me from that. God, you want time with me? You want me for you? I'm yours. I like going to the Blackhawks game sometimes, but you won't find me at one on a Sabbath day. It has nothing really to do with honoring God. I don't go to my business. Working is important. Providing for your family, very important. It's just not the day. There's many activities that we can have. And what I would challenge you, those of you who have said, well, what do we do on the Sabbath? How do we keep the Sabbath? Focus on it being so simple. Honor God. Get stoked up. You know, Thursday night I start getting charged up because I know the Sabbath's coming. On Friday, you know what I'm thinking about? Ooh, I just get to rest from all this work. And I just get to engage in thinking about and loving on my God and all of you that I get to meet with. That's so exciting to me. That's my life. That's my Sabbath life. I just want to honor God and I want to serve you and everybody I can, wherever I go. Because I'm unencumbered by all the things that occupy my mind during the week. It's just got to go. And that is what I'm encouraging you to see. That this is a day that changes your life. It changes your family. It changes nations. What would the United States look like if we on the Sabbath day said, you know what? We're shutting the businesses back down. We have been totally blowing it here with God. Let's repent and get back to the Lord God Almighty. He said that we should rest and have a revival back to doing this. Isn't it interesting when you look at the revivals of Hezekiah and the revivals of Josiah that they basically said, we got to get back to honoring God on the feasts, on the holy days. We got to get back to that. Why was that important? Because when you don't take the time for God that He set aside for us, we lose out on the fellowship that is necessary for all the changes. You realize that when you celebrate the Sabbath, there's a tremendous carryover. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So in all my business and all my work, what am I doing? Even though I'm going out to do my own work, different from your work, you're honoring God and I'm honoring God. But then one day I come back and it all gets recharged and refreshed. And I recenter with the creator of the universe who loves me and gave his son for me that I would be grounded back in again with him. And that intimacy, friends, if you haven't really embraced keeping the Sabbath, I encourage you to embrace keeping it. Keep it. Enjoy it. Enjoy God. Enjoy loving on him and loving on others. It's awesome. Matthew 24, Jesus said, sometimes I get asked, you know, is the Sabbath still for today or in this age? Notice Jesus said that when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house. And let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. And Matthew 24 continues on, and pray that your flight may not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. So if anyone in here says, but I'm not sure if it's in this age, have we hit the tribulation of such time there'll never be anything worse than that? Because my thinking and understanding is we haven't. That the tribulation is an event ahead. It'll be the worst time that the world has ever seen. So why would Jesus command his disciples to pray that your flight's not on the Sabbath if there was no such thing anymore? Just something to ponder and think about. It wouldn't make sense. But he says, pray that your flight be not on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation. So think about this in the revival, in the renewing. I believe that God is calling a people. Because I can look at people here and say, how did you find out about the Sabbath? I was reading my Bible. That's the number one answer. Why are you here? Why did you want a Sabbath? I was reading my Bible. I don't think it's harder than that. We have to pray that we just come out of blindness to just keep reading our Bible. And again, not just on this topic, but all the topics. So It's something very powerful. And then just look at this intimacy here in the new heavens and the new earth. For Isaiah 66, 22 to 23. For as the new heavens and new earth, which I shall make, remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. So this is just, again, when you think about a time to gather with God, to be made holy, separate, because you're just honoring Him. This is what He desires. And this is why He set it apart for us. So if you have any further questions after, be glad to answer those for you. Or Scott, we'd be glad to talk to you about anything. But we can keep it real simple, friends. You want to know how to keep the Sabbath? Devote yourself to honoring God first and foremost. Set your schedule and thinking, how am I going to spend time honoring God? And that'll tell you what to do. And I assure you, you'll be right in the zone of where God would have you to be.